Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Not sure if you all heard this yet, but there was a single winning ticket sold for the $1 billion Powerball. Are you ready? Downtown Los Angeles is where the winning ticket was purchased. The winner bought it at Las Palmitas Mini Mart on Wall Street. One winning ticket, $1 billion Powerball jackpot for one winning ticket.
It's confirmed real?
It's confirmed
real.
It's
just like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing. Where
it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's confirmed real. The $1 billion Powerball ticket was sold in downtown LA, Las Palmitas Mini Market on Wall Street. In fact, the California Lottery tweeted this. California has a new Powerball billionaire. One lucky ticket sold. The only ticket across the country to match all six numbers in the July 19th Powerball drawing. $1 billion jackpot. Whoa. Okay, whoa.
Wow. One ticket.
There's more from the California Lottery. The Golden State luck was in full force. California also sold seven additional tickets that match five numbers, missing only the Powerball. So those people won about $450,000 each. Again,
I'll take that.
In a bunch of California locations, LA, San Francisco, Santa Clara. And then one more. Congratulations to the 583,389 winning tickets from this draw alone. So there are a bunch of other prizes awarded. But only one Powerball winner. $1 billion Powerball drawing.
It's like
at a mini mart.
It's like almost too much to win at one time. Like, what do you
well,
put it?
Well, by the time they take the taxes out.
Still.
Right. It's still money that you can use to set your family up for generations.
You can do so. It's like, again, it's like too much
Jay's
to like
speechless.
Take in at a time.
Jay
it's
did
like,
not win the Powerball, but he is speechless.
Good for that guy, but or girl. But no, yeah, I was in the running, or I was trying to be in the running.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was not purchased at the Las Palmitas Mini Mart.
Picked the wrong Mini Mart.
You got the wrong Mini Mart. Wrong side of the country, too. Yeah. All right, so then back to work, I guess. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're 15 minutes away from Matt Adams of Golf Channel and Fairways of Life joining us here live from Hoylake, England, where the Open Championship is underway at Royal Liverpool. So that's, again, coming up in the next segment. Always exciting to have Matt on the show, and even better when he's live from various events, right? So he's an early bird anyway, but we love it when he joins us from actual golf tournaments. We've got our show question up on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page named after the show. Who are the four athletes, male or female, that belong on the Mount Rushmore of sports right now? So we're not talking about all time. We're not looking for a Michael Jordan answer here. We're not looking for Muhammad Ali. We're looking for right now in July 2023, who are the four athletes that you believe belong on the Mount Rushmore of sports? Already have a bunch of your answers coming in. So again, on Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. before we get to Matt Adams and the Open Championship, want to make sure that we talk about the latest in what is the developing story coming out of Northwestern University and specifically the Northwestern Athletic Department. Now, you may remember that we talked about the Pat Fitzgerald firing after what was an investigation that took months going back to January, in which a previous football player, a prior football player, had accused Pat Fitzgerald and his coaching staff of allowing a culture in which hazing with sex acts and sexual innuendo and all kinds of potentially even sexual assault, all kinds of dangerous activities were taking place. And there was a back and forth between former athletes. Yes, it happened. No, it didn't happen. I never saw it. Oh, I saw it all the time. Well, now you've got multiple lawsuits that have been filed and potentially more on the way against Northwestern and the athletic program. And now it's not just Wildcats football, but also members of the baseball and softball teams that are coming forward. And on Wednesday, a pair of attorneys, including civil rights attorney Ben Crump, did a news conference with multiple athletes. One, a running back on the football team going back a decade ago, who said players were put into a culture where sexual violence and hazing were, quote unquote, rampant. There are likely to be more lawsuits filed against Northwestern. Again, two already. In fact, one of them just dropping on Wednesday on behalf of an anonymous player. Again, same accusations, same allegations, hazing and abuse within the program. Comes right on the heels of the first lawsuit, which was earlier this week. A lot of people being named in these lawsuits. And according to the attorneys who filed the two lawsuits, so not the ones we heard from Wednesday, but the attorneys that have filed these two lawsuits, they're hearing from athletes in other sports too, like volleyball. Now, if you remember, there was a 6-month investigation. And what the investigation revealed is that, yes, there was a culture of hazing. But, and this is why Fitzgerald initially was suspended, not fired, though ultimately was let go. But the investigation did not find any specific evidence that would indicate that Pat Fitzgerald or the other coaches knew about the hazing. I find that hard to believe. I know we talked about it. Of course, you can't generally fire people just based on your beliefs or how you feel about it. But what's happening now is that with all these athletes feeling empowered by the investigation, by Fitzgerald getting fired, by other coaches being let go, essentially athletes are coming out of the woodwork. They don't want to stay silent anymore, nor should they. But sometimes it takes one or two. We've seen this in other recent situations where these types of investigations have revealed disturbing criminal patterns. Think about Larry Nassar, USA Gymnastics, and years and years, and even at Michigan State as well, years and years of sexual abuse of girls and young women. USA Gymnastics harboring him. And it took one, and then two, and then three who were brave enough to speak up before the floodgates opened. Another situation more recently, or maybe even ongoing, not sure if all the lawsuits have now been settled, but the Deshaun Watson situation where one woman came forward and then another. And then all of a sudden, this attorney was representing, what, 20 plus masseuses who indicated that Deshaun Watson had treated them similarly, allegedly. A lot of those lawsuits settled, but I can't imagine that in the case of Northwestern, especially if more and more athletes come forward, that this is going to go away. Nor should it. And so Ben Crump, an attorney who's representing a bunch of former players, stood in front of a podium on Wednesday with the players around him, essentially told their story, and in doing so, kind of pulled the cover back on what he says is a culture that's developed there on campus.
They were forced to participate in humiliating activities that were both physically abusive and severely psychologically traumatic. Just outrageous conduct, like them being forced to do the football hike from center to quarterback in the nude, and different things like that, that really was degrading to these young men and women in some instances. And I will tell you that some of them were minors. Some of them had not turned 18 yet. And so we're looking at all of these cases as we figure out the best legal remedies to hold Northwestern accountable and get them some measure of justice for our clients.
Lloyd Yates is one of the players who stood behind Ben Crump and then ultimately stepped up to the microphone. He was a quarterback at Northwestern from 2015 to 2017.
The graphic, sexually intense behavior was well known throughout the program. We were physically and emotionally beaten down, and some players have contemplated suicide as a result. We were all victims, no matter what our role was at the time. But the culture was so strong that we felt we had to go with it to survive, to be respected, and to earn the trust within the football program. There was a code of silence that felt insurmountable to break.
That's Lloyd Yates, who was a quarterback Northwestern for several years. And the question of whether or not the coaches were aware, that certainly came up. And the attorney, Ben Crump, he was succinct in his reply, but he makes a great point.
If the coach or coaches didn't know, it would have to be malfeasance. It would have to be they were asleep at the wheel.
Dan Webb is the attorney for Pat Fitzgerald. He made a statement after these allegations were spoken at this press conference. And a lot of times when you see the athletes, you hear their voices. It really hits home in a different way than reading it on a page. But Dan Webb says the allegations were broad-based and imprecise. No facts or evidence show that Pat Fitzgerald had any knowledge whatsoever of hazing within the football program. According to Crump, they do plan to file lawsuits on behalf of the athletes, though they haven't done so yet. I did see a variety of reaction when we spoke about this story last week, initially when Pat Fitzgerald was fired. Wide-ranging reaction. Some calling for forgiveness and what happened to second chances. It's boys being boys. What's the big deal? But others viewing it more seriously. I mean, hazing is against the rules on pretty much every campus now. It's also been outlawed by conferences. In some cases, we know in the past there have been criminal charges, criminal complaints filed over hazing incidents. And when you hear a young man like Lloyd Yates say, you have athletes who contemplated suicide or at the very least had suicidal thoughts over the hazing and the acts, the activities that they were forced to engage in, feeling like they had no recourse, they had no voice, they couldn't speak up. I mean, it's disturbing. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's not necessary either. And that's the part that I keep coming back to. Why? In the military, same thing. They've really, over the course of the last 10 years, we've seen more and more that these activities have been exposed and outlawed. There should be lines out of respect for fellow humans. Should be lines that are not crossed. You don't have to engage in these types of activities in order to belong. Fraternities, sororities around the country, same thing. I mean, it's really been over the last 10, 15 years that we're starting to see the crackdown on this type of hazing because it does have long-term impacts. Physically, mentally, it's not okay in the name of fun or belonging to a club. It's actually scary. And so we'll see how this proceeds moving forward, but I can't imagine that Northwestern is the only place where these types of activities have recently taken place, allegedly taken place. So I wonder if this will spark other athletes from other schools to come forward, if there are others who might have the same story. I hope not. I hope not, but I think that would be naive of me to believe that Northwestern is an isolated campus where this is going on. Right? I applaud the athletes. I'm sure it, especially for young men, there are some of them who feel like it's embarrassing and humiliating and they don't want to speak up. So Ben Crump, a couple of other attorneys working on more lawsuits. I think we're only starting to see the ripple effects now, the domino effect, likely to be more to come. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. We're always glad to hear from you. We're going to head to Royal Liverpool, Hoylake, England, coming up next. The Open Championship is already underway, and Matt Adams will join us on site. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Hi, my name is PJ Vogt. I host the podcast Search Engine, where every week I hunt down the answers to the questions I can't get out of my head. Like, why are drug dealers poisoning their customers with fentanyl? Or, is my local sushi restaurant a part of an international scam? Or, how sad are the monkeys at the zoo? If you, like me, find this world bewildering, but also sometimes enjoy being bewildered by it, check out the show. On the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was so much of a blur, to be honest. I can't remember much at all. Yeah, I remember walking down the last hole. You know, it was almost like a sense of relief, I guess, getting done. And then we just had such a cool night. It was awesome. The claret jug in the old course hotel. It was unreal.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cam Smith describing what it was like to win the Open Championship last summer. Of course, will be back on the course for a chance to defend his title, but now he's part of the LIV. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I think the last time we had Matt Adams on the air was right in the hours after the merger between PGA and LIV had been announced. And I'm not sure we know a whole lot more now than we did then. But we're really excited to have Matt join us from England. Royal Liverpool is the site of the Open Championship here. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, I know it's not your morning anymore. Well, it's your morning, but it's later in the morning. What are you looking at? Where are you right now?
I'm in the media center right now. Amy, good day, one and all. I head out at 9:47. I'll be doing the on-course play-by-play for Scottie Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood, and Adam Scott this morning. And then this afternoon, our time, it will be the group of Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, and Terrell Hatton, my targets.
Have you been practicing your golf voice, your on-course voice?
You know what? A few years ago, it's probably more than that. It's more like 15 years ago now. I took this just regular old clipboard, and I went to Home Depot, and I bought sound insulation, you know, that you put in between walls and so forth if you were, like, setting up a room for a baby or something. And I put it, I taped it down with electrical tape in the shape of a U, an upside-down U. I guess an M, then, if you please. And it's shaped in such a way that I can jam the microphone in there, and then in between the bridges, it kind of molds to your face, around your nose. And whether I'm at a Ryder Cup or I'm at, you know, an Open, whatever event that I'm broadcasting, I can talk into that microphone a little bit, pretty much kind of like what I am right now, say about this level right here, and they can't hear me.
Whoa.
So it works for me, so that's what I use.
That's very ingenious of you. You're like a MacGyver, Matt.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't use a stick of gum and a light bulb.
Matt Adams is not only with Golf Channel and Fairways of Life, but also now is going to be part of the on-course coverage for the Open Championship. You mentioned a couple of groups that you're following. What's the buzz right now, the storylines as this tournament gets underway?
There's a lot of storylines. I mean, you alluded to one of them as you were coming into this segment with Cam Smith coming back as the defending champion, and you know, where are we at in terms of players both from DP World Tour, the Europe, or the formerly known as European Tour, the PGA Tour, and LIV? And is that even still a story now where people are like, do we expect that the LIV players won't play as well? Well, they proved it was that they never forgot who they were as great champions, and many of them as major champions. So I think it's made the majors in 2023 even more exciting with that mix. In other words, the whole world is here together. So that's part of it. Cam Smith is coming off a recent win outside of London in his LIV event, so he has some form coming in here. There are changes to this golf course, Royal Liverpool, since the last time we were here in 2014 with Rory McIlroy. One, there's a brand new par 3 at 17 that's very, very difficult, and we'll be curious to see how it plays out over the next few days. The 10th hole, which was the easiest last time we were here as a par 5, is now an incredibly difficult par 4. The weather is not so much an issue as it many times is here at the Open, because today is expected to be eventually sunny all day. It's just a little bit cloudy, overcast right now, but really no prospect of rain. Hope I don't jinx myself on that. So that's, you know, sometimes you have this, you play early, you play late, you get the wins, don't you get the wins. It's going to be fairly benign all day by those standards. So we should see good scoring all day. A lot of rain here, so the golf course is relatively green, again, by Open standards. It's also relatively soft by the same measurement. So those are all parts of the story. Rory McIlroy is always part of the story. He's the one that won here last time, hasn't won a major since he won his majors in 2014. So there's those kind of questions that surround. I happen to think, Amy, that the real, question/answer here is the fact that so many players are going to be in contention. Why? Well, for all the reasons that I just described to you, the weather very much being one of them. The fairways are fairly soft, so you're not getting the ball bounding through and running into difficult positions. I think as a result, it's not a course that's about length. It's about precision. So I think as a result, we're going to see a wide open. I think it's going to be as exciting a competition as we have seen in many years.
Well, we love the fact that we can watch it live coming up here in a half hour. It's going to be on USA. I know that some of the coverage already taking place on Peacock. So we love it when we've got international events that we can follow during our show here on After Hours. Matt, I've heard a bunch of questions posed to these guys about LIV, PGA merger. We know that Congress had a hearing about it. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot more information. From your perspective, what do we know that's advanced the story since it actually broke?
Well, I mean, I think the whole business with the congressional hearings, the permanent subcommittee and the special committee on investigations was just political bluster. I mean, the legislative branch of the government is not going to pass a specific law relative to this one union. They can put pressure, obviously, on the Department of Justice and the investigation that they have ongoing about antitrust, and they certainly could put pressure on the PGA Tour relative to their tax-exempt status, their charitable status. But other than that, I think that's it's just about bluster. To have a senator, my question from the beginning has been, who is the constituency that they're claiming to represent in terms of protecting, as the senator called it, a cherished American institution, when there are military bases in Saudi Arabia that he was disparaging the Saudi Arabian government? And it doesn't matter if you like or hate the Saudi Arabian government. You have every right to feel the way that you want to feel. But what I'm saying is the very same government is in business with Saudi Arabia and actually trying to forge deeper ties with them at the same time as this senator is suggesting that any relationship with them could potentially damage a cherished American institution, mind you, the same one that they're investigating for the Department of Justice. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that surrounds all of that, as there seems to have been throughout this entire issue from the very beginning. What was revealed both in court documents when the filing in southern Florida, as well as what little new revelations we got from that Senate hearing, we know that the discussions are very much ongoing. We know that now that Saudi Arabia and their public investment fund is looking to invest perhaps as much as $1 billion into the game of golf. And I've heard figures even higher than that from my sources. So the impact is going to be mighty. It's going to be across the board. From the people that I have heard from on the inside, they all feel that that this union will take place between these different entities. Will it bring peace to the game of golf at its top-tier level? Yes. What remains undefined that you were also mentioning there are what will happen with LIV. We know that they want to give the team concept a fair shake, which I think has been a successful move by LIV Golf, and what the final decisions will be in terms of who's running the show, who's calling the shots. I still always tend to believe that it's a golden rule, and the one with the gold makes the rules. And so I think that the influence of the source of funding will be greater than what we're being told, which is basically that Jay Monahan, commissioner of the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour's board, of which they named the majority of, will be in charge of everything and making all the decisions. But I have a feeling there'll be a little bit more discussion about all of that. But by and large, that's where we stand with that. I can tell you that from the players' perspective, the players are really not getting into it this week. I think they have the perspective that this week is about the Open. It's about the final major on the men's side of the game for 2023 and all that surrounds. And I respect that. I respect that this week is really about that. I don't think anybody really had to whisper in the ear. I think the other part of it is the fact that the players have started settling into the fact that, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to be our new reality. There's going to be a lot of money involved, and it's probably going to mean considerably more money from them if they're at the top. So for all those reasons, it already seems like, and it's weird to say this at this point because we don't have massive amount of details, but it already seems like the dust is starting to settle.
When you and I spoke in the wake of this bombshell announcement, we were talking about Jay Monahan, and you mentioned that he was likely willing to take the hit for the future of golf and the influx of money, that the bottom line was the bottom line. It does seem as though the emotion has died down some. So would you say that he's safe then, that there's not likely going to be any type of an ouster of the commissioner of the PGA Tour?
Well, I never felt that there'd be an ouster of the commissioner. I never thought that there would be a coup. What I thought was that initially, as it was, there would be a tremendous amount of emotion. There'd be a tremendous amount of anger. There'd be a tremendous amount of if you will, distrust for how this whole thing came together, and that the players were completely blindsided by and large, although we are learning more in the aftermath that people like Rory McIlroy did know what was going on to some extent. He had met with the chairman of the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia at one point. So from that standpoint, my feeling was always the same, that the ace up the sleeve of Jay Monahan was to say, okay, be mad at me now. We had to do it the way that we did it in order to get the deal done. But his trump card is the fact that it is so much money. And when you're talking about professional athletes, when you're talking about people that have hard and pencil in their hand because they get paid to do what they do, and you come back and say, look, sorry that we couldn't keep you informed of what went on. We had to do it for the reasons that we've stated. However, this is the way you're going to benefit from it. And I think from that standpoint, I don't think that the players are hung up on the prospect of the moral issues. I think the players were hung up on the prospect that they were being told that these people are bad people, don't go there, don't play for them, and then find out that they were going to be in union with them and they were caught off guard. And I think the way that Jay's going to overcome that with the masses is to say, yeah, look at the bottom line here and look how much money is being brought in. So I actually think that that's already happening. I think that's part of the reason why things are settling down.
Matt Adams is with us from Hoylake, England, Royal Liverpool, where he'll be on the course in mere hours, following a couple of different groups through the opening round. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, I know you're a big fan of golf across the pond, as I say. You do trips over there, Ireland. I know you've been to Ireland. Have you done Scotland and England as well, trips?
We did. Yeah, this year we brought a big group over to St. Andrews. So we played the old course and a lot of the courses on the Scottish Rota, and before I came here to Royal Liverpool, I was back at Ballybunion in Ireland, and while I was there, it was kind of neat because John Rahm came in to play and to practice, and you've got, you know, one of the top players in the world, and you're able to walk alongside. I didn't say anything to him. I just watched and watched him play little shots from tight lies, little run-out areas around the greens, all the stuff that he's facing right here at Royal Liverpool. So, yeah, it's been a pretty cool run.
What makes it special? Why do you love it so much?
Well, I mean, there's two answers to that. When it comes to Ireland, I'm Irish. I'm a dual citizen, so I enjoy getting back there and seeing family and friends, and it's just the atmosphere for me. I'm sure you have your places too, like everyone, where you feel like your soul is set free to soar, and that's what it is for me. I don't have to worry about. I just don't feel like I have to worry about life's issues. But when it comes to Lynx golf, I think Lynx golf is the most pure form of golf. Yes, it's subject to, you know, strange twists of fate that you may not be ready for, and that certainly is going to happen at this Open. You will see great shots that will not be rewarded. You will see absolutely awful shots that will be, but I also see that as kind of the flow and ebb of life as well. Beside that, it's about measure. Here at Royal Liverpool, this is about strategy, and this is about ensuring that you navigate your way around these bunkers, because while they are the vetted bunkers that people are familiar with, many times called pot bunkers, which tends to relate more so to size, these are shaped in such a way that they tend to scoop the ball in if they absolutely can. But more importantly, the faces of these bunkers are not sloped the way many vetted bunkers are. So as a result, the ball's not settling into the middle of the bunker. Everything's been raked flat. So you're going to see shots that come to settle right alongside of the wall of the bunker, meaning that the only shot option that a player has is to blast it basically straight up in the air and have it drop a couple of inches outside the bunker and hope that it trickles away instead of trickling back into the bunker once again. So they're very much going to be a part of it. So that whole kind of mystery that surrounds Lynx golf is very much part of the appeal. But I also think that's in large measure the reason why the Open is as appealing as it is to people around the world, because it's so very, very different than what they're used to watching week in and week out on most of the major tours.
Man alive, remembered those bunkers in some part in Newport when I used to play at your course with the Lynx style.
Yeah.
They're very challenging, so it's going to be a lot of fun. The Open sounds like good conditions, though. And, Matt, we can hear you. SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, what time, what groups?
I am going to be starting with Scottie Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood, and Adam Scott, and that's just over an hour from now when I'll be on course with that one. This afternoon, my time, it's going to be about 10:15 Eastern. I'll go out with Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, and Terrell Hatton. And you can hear us in North America on SiriusXM, PGA Tour Radio. I think they call themselves Open Radio this week. You can hear us on the official Open app. You can hear us on theopen.com. I believe we're on TuneIn Radio. It's a lot of different places. And the nice thing about how the RNA does it is that there's no fees. We're on the air right now. So you can you can get ours for free no matter where you are, and you don't have to worry about registering. You don't have to worry about payments. It's just, it's there for the taking.
Awesome. Are you also doing your show this week?
I was, yeah. Once the tournament proper begins, I don't do the show because I'll physically be on course when I'm normally on the air at 8 a.m. on Fairways of Life on our YouTube channels and all that. And but we will do our national television broadcast this weekend, which are on affiliates from coast to coast. I would tell people just look for us there. But I will be able to do that because the tee times, obviously, for the leaders are later on the weekend.
Yes. Well, we are privileged to have you here with us since you have so many responsibilities. You're juggling Find Matt on Twitter at Matt Adams, FOL, which is Fairways of Life on YouTube, Broadcast TV, Golf Channel, and then SiriusXM, PGA Tour Radio, the Open Radio Channel this week. Matt, you're the best. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Love talking to you, Amy. Thank you. Bye.
I love Matt. Matt and I have known each other for such a long time, back when I was working in Providence, Rhode Island. So before I made the jump to network radio, he was the general manager of a link-style course on the Atlantic Ocean in Newport, Rhode Island. And I met him through a friend, through the club pro there. And Matt and I have remained close, and I'm so proud of him. At the time, he was not in media, but he was an author. And since then, he's become one of the premier voices for, as I say, Golf Channel and NBC, Fairways of Life. He's got this YouTube show that's incredibly popular, and he always makes time for us. And usually we get him from these major tournaments or around these major tournaments too, and learn so much from him. He just cuts right through the BS. Cuts right through it and goes to the heart of the matter. So make sure you follow Matt. He's already got photos posted from Royal Liverpool in Hoylake, England, across the pond. I only did it once, and I didn't even use my accent when I was talking to Matt. I decided to spare him that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Not only are we still together 10 years later, but we actually enjoy spending time with each other 10 mm-hmm. years later. Like, we enjoy each other so much that on every flight, we sit together mm-hmm. and talk.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Draymond Green loves Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And he was telling that story on his own podcast, and also the Pat P, Podcast P, not Pat P, but the Podcast P with Paul George. He talks about the fact that 10 years into his relationship with the Splash Brothers, they're still very close, and that there's no jealousy, there's no acrimony over who gets paid the most, who has the most touches, whose stats are better, blah, blah, blah. No, they still really care about one another and have great relationships. But that doesn't extend to everyone on the team, and it didn't extend to everyone on the team this time last year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not only does Draymond have his own podcast on The Volume, but he also loves to visit the podcasts of other NBA players. We mentioned Paul George. Well, recently on the Pat Bev podcast, I don't know how many NBA players have podcasts, but between the current and the former, there are hundreds of them. Draymond Green with Pat Beverly on his podcast, revisiting that incident that took place in training camp last year where he punched Jordan Poole in the face, and he wants you to know that it wasn't what you think.
I don't just hit people. Dialogue, of course, happens over time, and you usually ain't just triggered by something like that fast, you know, right, to that degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a team, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody on my team triggering me, you know, in an instant. You know, we know stuff that you don't say amongst men. You know what I'm saying? We know things that you have to stand on.
So it seems as though Draymond is alluding to something that Jordan may have said to him that crossed the line. I wonder if it was something like what Draymond said to LeBron James in the finals in 2016. It was 16, right, that crossed the line. Remember, he said something to him and LeBron stood over him and then got punched. So
you're a clown.
Jordan Poole, did he say something to Draymond? But what Dre tells the Pat Bev podcast is that you don't just haul off and punch someone. That type of emotion builds up over time. We're a team. A teammate can't trigger me out of the blue. Well, there will be another challenge. Jordan Poole's no longer his teammate. Jordan is now with the Wizards. And, of course, Draymond signed a reduced contract, actually, 4 years, $100 million, far less than what some of his opponents, some of his rivals got with their respective clubs. But he wanted to stay there, and he wanted the Warriors to have money to be able to build a team around the core three. That includes Chris Paul. Well, Dre has been vocal, not shy at all, about how much he dislikes CP3. And so now that they're teammates, what happens moving forward?
It's not sugarcoating what has happened all these years. This is real life, man. Like, people get it twisted, like, oh, man, like, you're in character when you're... No, this is real life we live in when we're playing in these games. And so, like, to just go front and act like all of those things was fake, like, I've publicly said I didn't like Chris before. Like, I'm just not going to be like, oh, man, that changed. Now he's my teammate. No, I look forward to talking amongst men. I look forward to working with another adult. You know, I've had my fair share of days of, like, not working with adults and people who don't move like adults. Right. So I'm looking forward to going to work with an adult. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I just want to clarify because it's a little muddy, the audio. On the Pat Bev podcast, you can hear Pat in the background. Did he say adult or dog? As in what PJ Tucker would have said to us, we got dogs, remember? We got dogs, you hear me? We got dogs. What, did he say adult?
I'm working with adults and people who don't move like adults. Right. So I'm looking for...
Or a duck.
At first I thought adult. Now I heard dog, then I heard duck.
Is it adult? What is it? I'm not really sure.
I think he said adult.
I think adult. We'll go with adult. I like the fact that Draymond Green looks forward to working with other adults. Man to man. I mean, there were some people who would say that Draymond doesn't always... work like an adult.
All right, 1 second. Let Papa finish, okay?
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.